Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Supposing we unearth the rivers of Baltimore, how about it change the city, and could it be done? They did it in Seoul, Korea, changed the nature of the city, made a lot of money, and the guy who was mayor of Seoul was elected president of Korea. Well, we're going to talk about that and more in one of our urbanite stories this hour, and then we're going to take another urbanite story and talk about the possibility of extraterrestrials with astronomers and what may lie out there that we're not even thinking about. So stay with us for that, but first, got to watch out for the saucers flying through and turn your WEA traffic. Make sure you get home safe. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Urbanite, Baltimore's monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. In this month's issue, four teams of collaborators explore four very different visions of the city. It's the Urbanite Project, a special annual issue devoted to showcasing outside-the-box thinking from Baltimore's most creative minds. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. You can visit www.urbaniteBaltimore.com for a list of drop locations. And this hour, we're going to tackle two of those ideas that came about. One that Gabriel Croyes and Eliza Steinmeier came up with, called Divining Baltimore, a Visioning Exercise, talking about unearthing a particular river in Baltimore that is now Central Avenue, and what that would mean. This sounds crazy, but is it really? We're going to talk with both of them this hour. Eliza Steinmeier is the executive director and waterkeeper for the Baltimore Harbor Waterkeepers, and is Baltimore Harbor Waterkeeper. Eliza, good to see you again. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Gabriel Croyes is with us, who is the other half of this madcap team, who's an architect, builder, and educator, and BSAED program director and assistant professor at Morgan State University's School of Architecture and Planning. Gabriel, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And we're also joined in the studio by Christopher Streb. Chris Streb is ecological engineer at BioHabitats. Chris, welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Join us here at 410-319-8888 to join in this conversation. When we first met, I actually met your wife before I met you, but yes. When we first met at the Urbanite Gathering, I was really intrigued because this is an idea that I've been thinking about for a long time, and actually have a map of all the old rivers of Baltimore, and always thought about what the city would be like. And there the two of you are coming up with this idea. So let me start with you and then go over to Eliza about what this idea is and kind of lay it out for our public, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, Eliza and I started working together on the Urbanite Project, and she's looking at water quality issues, comes at it from that, and I'm interested in creating better urban space as an architect. And so we had thought about the idea of a daylighting project. Is it possible?
Daylighting meaning unearthing rivers that are covered by concrete or whatever else.
Yeah, this is something that's going on. There's a history behind this around the world over the last century. We covered over rivers at quite a rate because they were generally not owned and you could put roads on top of them. It was a way of industrializing and introducing traffic in cities. And now there's problems that have arisen from that.
Right.
And I had written an article in the Urbanite about Seoul, where they had taken out a highway akin to the JFX and put back a river and made the city a much better, more beautiful, more environmentally friendly place to be. So we said, could we look at Baltimore and look at a daylighting project here, you know, one as opposed to many. There's many streams underneath the city.
Many, many.
It's kind of interesting if you look at a map of streams for the region. There's a whole network of streams outside the city, and it looks almost white, like they've all been erased when you get to the city.
They've been tunneled over.
They've been tunneled
paved
over.
So, and Eliza, as you explain your thoughts about this, for very quickly, just explain to our listeners what a waterkeeper is who may not know what that is.
Well, we're a nonprofit organization that we actually act as the voice of the river. And so we're the voice of the Patapsco River. And so the Patapsco can't speak for itself. So we say, hey, whatever's going to be a source of pollution to the Patapsco, we're going to work to fight it. And so the history of our infrastructure is we've been carrying water away from our cities because there was pollution, bacteria, epidemics. And so water was not a resource. For a long time, it was actually a burden. And so we created a storm drain system that said, get this water away from us as quickly as possible. And now we have all these streets paved over that run the water right into the storm drain system and out into our rivers. So we're adding pollution to our what used to be natural streams, running it into our rivers and essentially decimating our rivers with our own pollution. And so the thought is, hey, maybe if we bring these streams back to our communities, people will realize that we actually have these beautiful resources in our backyard and we could protect them.
And part of the reason you're here and saying, Chris Streb, is because we talk about the reality of how this works. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Our firm has actually designed several daylighting projects.
Where?
University of Virginia and in Pittsburgh. We have not yet done one in Baltimore City, but we do actively work on stream restoration projects through the city. And although they're not piped, most of these channels have been modified to some degree. They've either been pushed over to the valley wall, they're deepened so that flooding is not an issue and the land is more useful for development purposes. But what's happened as a result of that is exactly what Eliza was talking about. We're no longer having that filtration, that natural filtration that occurred when the system was forested and when you had active floodplains that slowed the water down and, you know, really cleaned it.
If you want to watch some of this as we're talking, I suggest to go to thesteinershow.org and then click on the Urbanite Project to go to the Urbanite website, which is urbanitebaltimore.com, and click on the Urbanite Project, and you'll see Gabriel Crowe's and Eliza Steinmeier's picture, and then you can click on the maps and other things we're talking about here that we're envisioning. So talk about the Central Avenue we're talking about, which is this main artery that goes from in the east side of town down into the heart of Fells Point. And talk about this idea you have. What would it entail? What does it mean to unearth a river underneath Central Avenue?
Well, I think one of the reasons that we picked Central Avenue is because it's such a wide street. And so knowing that there's a river underneath it and knowing that we had the potential to uncover that river, what could we do? And, you know, Gabriel was coming at it from the point of how to improve our cities from an architectural standpoint. There's just ripe opportunities to take the pavement off, still have some traffic, because we know people scream when you take away traffic, so let's be realistic, and, you know, still have a traffic corridor and have a natural corridor run right down the middle of it, which can, you know, bring business to the area, tourists, art, culture, all sorts of things. So it could really renew the area in many ways beyond providing an environmental benefit, which is clearly where I was starting from. But there just seems to be exponential benefits once you get the river unearthed.
So Gabriel, take it from your architectural standpoint. I mean, I'm looking now at a picture of Central Avenue, and I'm looking at the place where occasionally I get gas on the corner there, that little teeny gas station. It's also down the block from where I get my haircut. I can see getting my haircut and watching a river as opposed to a concrete a street. But talk about, I mean, what does this entail? I mean, it's a lovely idea, and we just finished this hour of, like, budget deficits. Ooh. But in some ways, when you're in that situation, maybe it's time to start thinking creatively about where you put the money and what that money does.
Well, I think when you look at Central Avenue, you have to realize this isn't the center of things. This is actually still a truck corridor, right? The really great areas are Fells Point and Harbor East and Little Italy. And this is this kind of empty zone in between. And it has a couple things. One, it's wide enough, as Eliza said. It's 100 feet wide, which leaves room for a sidewalk and parking and a travel lane and this green feature, a river, and the same thing on the other side. And that's really important. The other thing is...
Go ahead. So the main feature, I mean, what I'm envisioning as you're talking here, though, is I can see, let's say you unearth the river. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it take to unearth a river? What does it mean to unearth concrete that's in the street on the river? One of my friends, Clinton Bamberger, is a brilliant guy. He's a former dean at Catholic U Law School. He always calls this is not about Central Avenue, he always calls the Jones Falls Expressway the Great Fallopian Tube. Where you kind of drive into the city, don't have to see a thing, don't have to participate in anything. You go in, you go out, it's done. I love it. But one of the ideas is that originally got me started thinking about years ago, well, why not just tear it up, get rid of it, and bring back the Jones Falls and let that be our main waterway with rail and buses and walkways and paths to get people on the city and reunite our city again.
one of the reasons for looking at Central, Jones Falls is really the obvious place where this should happen.
Right.
Central, there's not much to lose and a whole lot to gain by doing it there because of, in a way, the lack of development on both sides. If this investment, which is necessary, were to happen, this would be a great place for businesses over a 10-block stretch. And I, the reason I say it's necessary, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple years ago, kind of on the weekend, they poured a curb over the middle of the street and filled the middle of the street with concrete. And the backstory for that is the infrastructure is crumbling.
Right.
The vaulting that supports this roadway can't handle a tractor-trailer anymore, and they're keeping tractor-trailers off the middle of the road. So this... the city is actually looking into how to address this problem.
So in some way, go ahead, Elijah, we're going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, to get back to your question, how do you actually do this? Chris is probably the best person to speak to that. But basically, you rip the concrete up, you naturalize a little bit of the bottom of the storm drain, so you have some dirt down there, get basic, And you start to control the amount of flow that gets into that natural waterway, because a natural waterway is not meant to handle massive amounts of storm water when it rains. And so some of the challenges there, we also have a lot of utilities. It's an expensive project to rip concrete off and move utilities. But when you asked the question, I got back to the visioning exercise that really is our Urbanite project.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision is this. Stand around... is it Monument Street?
Mm-hmm.
And look south. And imagine you're standing...
On Central. Right.
Imagine you're standing in the middle of a big urban park with a beautiful large pond. In the middle of the pond, there are wetland plants. Those plants are treating the water as water gets poured in from the other arteries around the city. Kids are playing, swing sets, beautiful green space in the middle of one of our hearts of our cities. Water trickles out of that big pond and makes its way into this slow-moving river that runs down Central Avenue. It slows everybody down. It makes it more peaceful. It makes it more tranquil. It cleans our water. It provides an opportunity for reinvestment in the area. Culture, art, people can get outside and actually enjoy something instead of avoid it and walk the other way either to Fells Point or to Little Italy. You start to vision it and you almost feel like it can happen. But then you get to the budget issues, and wonder, can it really? And then I say, well, hey, we got a lot of stimulus money out there. Why the heck not?
Lots of stimulus money. And, Chris, talk about how this works. How could you fiscally and physically imagine this dream that Gabriel and Elijah have written about become a reality, and what would it mean for the city? And by the way, let me encourage our listeners to call in here, 410-319-8888. We'd like to hear your thoughts about what this could mean. And think about this before we go to answer the question from Chris. The neighborhoods that this runs through, Central Avenue, are really diverse. Fells Point, Little Italy, Harbor East, Douglas Homes, Perkins Homes, Old Town, Johns Hopkins University, Albemarle Square, Corned Beef Row, which is Lumbert Street, and Pleasant View Gardens are some of the neighborhoods that would just live along this new river. Maybe some of you listening live in those neighborhoods. 410-319-8888. Think differently about what the future of this town could be and how we could spend the money to turn the place around. Could this be one way to do it? Chris?
Well, I think what Eliza was really touching upon is this idea. There's an idea that's out there called food deserts where people don't have access to clean food. Well, there's also the concept of nature deficits or nature deserts. And, as humans, I think we really need natural spaces. And especially this corridor is, we have the waterfront. The waterfront's beautiful, but you reach all the way back into Monument, and there's not a lot of respite from all the concrete. So fiscally, though, what this means and what it would take is stream restoration on average is about $400 a linear foot. So what would this mean when we're actually uncovering pavement, rerouting traffic, coming up with utility crossings that, refurbishing all of that infrastructure? Well, I think as Gabriel was mentioning, a lot of that infrastructure needs to be done anyway. It's crumbling on its own. But that would be an added cost. If we were to take that to a linear foot of the stream, who knows, that could be 10 times that 400 linear feet for an exposed channel.
Let's go to the phones here, 410-319-8888. There's something wrong with the screen here, and I can't see the name of the first caller. But let me go to you. You live in Cockeysville. You have something to say. Introduce yourself and join us. Hi, you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Welcome.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember Merlin was supposed to create this huge super block that was supposed to run from the West Baltimore in town and never came to fruition? Maryland never does, well, Baltimore in general, never does anything grand. Now, when you talk about running across Central Avenue, you're talking about moving that light rail area. Now, the state invested a lot of money in that light rail. Do you actually think they're going to actually move that light rail?
Does the light rail go through this, Gabe?
The light rail would cross this. The light rail would cross this, but the light rail is going to be traveling at much. This stream is like 8 or 10 feet below the surface at most, and the light rail's well. It would actually be in the likely iteration, it'd be tunneled under that and would not conflict. I think one of the things to consider about this, and one of the things that's great about having this idea go out there, is if you look at it from a single point of view, traffic engineering or stormwater management or real estate development, none of those could support a project like this. The thing is, it touches upon everything connected to it. So it affects our environment, our real estate quality, our quality of life, transportation, mm-hmm, bike mm-hmm. trails. I mean, you know, everyone's going to benefit and everyone has a stake in it. And it's when you look at when everyone looks at a project like this, it's actually pretty easy. It's only a few feet down and it could happen. There's plenty of road. We don't have to take away people's buildings to make this happen. It's probably not much traffic moves on this street today, so it will not be invasive the way constructing the light rail probably will be for a decade.
And if you have something like this, it opens up other possibilities for the city. This could just be the beginning.
I mean, this really was our pilot project. So if we can get Baltimore's head around Central Avenue, then maybe there's a real future for our streams in the city. And it just seemed like an easy, relatively speaking, easy, wide-open project, and then maybe we could think about the JFX. Maybe we could think about doing this in other neighborhoods. But this was one that just struck both Gabriel and I as almost a no-brainer. I mean, if money wasn't an issue, it's almost a no-brainer. And then we brought Chris in. He's our honorary member of our team. We brought Chris in because neither of us actually knew how to do it.
and what about the money part of this?
The money part is complicated, and I think what Gabriel's touching upon is it brings so many things together. You know, is this an investment that really could yield positive outcomes, could actually yield a return in the investment? I mean, we think about what we've destroyed over the last 2 years in the idea of our productivity, you kind of wonder over the next 200 years if we can actually be making money by restoring the earth. And so I think that's the grand view. I mean, we certainly can restore communities. We can restore and revitalize how we all feel about our city to generate the excitement to want to live there. And the reinvestment that would occur from that is, who knows? It could be very, very significant.
And I think an important piece is this is a reinvestment in our community. This isn't a reinvestment in tourism, bringing new people to the area. I mean, this is really a reinvestment in us. And I think that's an important distinction because we've dumped a lot of money into tourism, and now we have a harbor that's filled with trash and tourists, you know, offended when they come to Baltimore. And I say, hey, let's put the money in places where we use because we're...
Because we live here.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, we're not going down to the harbor as tourists the way that tourists are. So, you know, let's spend it on us. We deserve it. We deserve to have a city that is livable.
We're talking this hour about one of the great urbanite projects that the collaborations have came up. Gabriel Croiz and Eliza Steinmeier came up with this idea, Divining Baltimore, a visioning exercise. You can go to steinershow.org. Click on the maps, click on the pictures, click on the Urbanite Project link, and take a look at what we're talking about here and envisioning a different city. And just think about it. This is not just something that would happen if it happened. It could open up the city to many different ideas and ways. It's one way of spending our infrastructure money in a different way. It could create businesses and create new ways of living. And it runs through all kinds of neighborhoods. It runs from neighborhoods that are kind of Tony neighborhoods to hospitals to working class neighborhoods in this town. And it may be a way of uniting the city in some ways. What do you think? Is it just totally outrageous? It's something you can just think about and imagine yourself. As I said at the beginning of the show, if you're just tuning in, that when you think of Baltimore, we're built on a delta. There are rivers all under us, all through the city, that flow into what is now the Baltimore Harbor. 410-319-8888. And Clarence, you're on the air.
Thanks for having me again.
The same Clarence. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. These gentlemen should have been incorporated
and lady.
In the conversation. And lady, I'm sorry. The conversation, how do we, that you had your other guest yesterday or the day before, how do we provide a better environment for ourselves? If it's a more nurturing environment that the people will live in, their behavior patterns change.
Yes.
I've always envisioned, instead of building the red line, that the city would get a commission together to, and a group of engineers to study the feasibility of designing a new type of rail system with a very small footprint to run from Gwen's Falls all the way from security down through that little riverbed with environmentally friendly all the way to Jones Fall and around the city. That would connect the entire city, but it has to be something new that's environmentally friendly. And what these gentlemen are saying, that would be wonderful.
Clarence, thanks for joining us. Where else, and talk about where else this has really actually happened. Someone left a message earlier about the River Walk in San Antonio. I mean, what are the cities in America have actually attempted to do something as dramatic as this?
I don't think this is very dramatic, actually. This is relatively small scale. I mean, the dramatic is Seoul. That's really dramatic.
That's the dramatic. The one that you wrote about, Gabe.
Right.
And I think there's a town in Maryland that has recently gone through, I mean, a relatively small town has recently daylighted a stream in their main street. Is it Edmonton? Or I'm having a hard time recalling where it is. But they really rallied their town around a green project that benefited their town. So I don't think this is necessarily crazy talk. It's just, perhaps we came in a little late in the game in the Department of Transportation's planning process, and not to dog DOT, because I think, you know, this is kind of an out there idea. But if they're willing to go back to the drawing board, and you know your listeners are willing to tell them they should, then you know maybe we have a fighting chance.
I mean, and I think Gabriel and Christopher, one of the things you wrote on this piece, Christopher, you actually on the website have. You talk about the structural challenges and opportunities that exist, I mean, that you'd have to go through and the depth of the pipe you have to make. Some of these you actually thought through in a serious way about how this project could be real. And you both have, all three of you have, but just in terms of the skill sets the two of you bring to this project, you actually thought through how you actually could make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we didn't start with a tiny stream. Do you want to speak to the?
Well, yeah, I think we first wanted to look at just whether it was.
What's the name of the river, by the way? We haven't ever said the name of the river.
It's called Harford Run.
Harford Run. Okay.
Yeah, and it actually starts up, I think, off of Bel Air Road is the origin of that of the creek or of what was the creek. So we just looked at the technical feasibility of it, and you know, part of it we got a pretty good snapshot just by seeing some historic photos. Of when Central Avenue was called Canal Street, you could see that the water, you know, the water was there, and it was not, those walls of that canal were not that deep. They were maybe eight feet deep. So we're not talking about a lot of excavation, as Gabriel was saying, and I think a lot of it may just be removing the cap that is the center of Central Avenue right now. Now, there would be a lot of work adjacent to that to try to get vegetation going. And it certainly wouldn't function like a purely natural stream, but it would still help from water quality, air quality, and you know then not only that, the aesthetic and of
and then that's the offshoot of the idea of having all this work and the communities that could grow because of it is something that also is part of this. I mean, people actually could go to, we could put people to work building this thing.
This is real green jobs. This isn't, you know, insulating homes, which is great to insulate homes, but you know, this is green jobs on a massive scale. What if we could restore the protein factory that used to be the Chesapeake Bay? That's how H.L. Mencken described it back in the 1900s,
right.
And we've lost that.
Let's go back to the phones of 410-319-8888. Denise, Hilton Street, Carter, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Denise. Welcome.
Thank you very much. There is a quarry at the Baltimore Street Bridge at the intersection of Mount Olivet Lane.
Yes.
There's plenty of landscaping. We took Mayor Kurt Smoke out there one time. He didn't even know it existed. However, yeah, just a few blocks up, we are suffering from concrete scoliosis in the unit block of South Abington where I lived. And we have a marsh that sort of is the end drop-off for the Gwynns Falls. I think the Gwynns Falls gets its headway from one of the Great Lakes and comes down. Well, right at the southeast corner of Baltimore and Hilton Street, there's nothing but marsh there. I brought some political muscle out there once, and they assessed that we'd have to spend $1 million. Well, I think that we could use some elbow grease versus all of that money and take some of the suggestions of the people who've actually lived in the community and see if we can transform that into an appealing area. Because for so long, we've tried. And now I'm 55. Before I close my eyes, I would like to see it done.
I'm with you. I think those are the kind of things we should think about. And look what they did in the Gwynns Falls in Leakin Park. I mean, they are bringing that piece of water slowly back to life. It's being used, and it should open itself up all the way down into the center city. It sounds pie in the sky, but it's only pie in the sky if we don't envision what future could be like.
It's not. You know, half a century ago, covering rivers over to make highways was the new idea. It was the big
right.
new thing.
Right.
And we all fell in love with it and employed people and did it. I think going back to Seoul, when they did this, they took out a highway at $300 million and expect $12 billion in new investment.
And we have to leave people hanging on that line. And I want to thank Gabriel Croyes and Liza Steinmeier for writing this article. It's just really spurred some imagination. Great to have you and be a part of this project as well, Chris Strebb.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I encourage you to go to our website and check this out, read it some more, and think about what this can mean for our communities. Thank you all so much for dreaming up this incredibly good idea. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And when we return, we'll be joined by another Urbanite project talking about what may live out there beyond this earth. Stay with us. We'll be right back.